Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and, of course, Signs of Life Radio. We gather here on a monthly basis to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many different topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and of course, the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyszka, and as your host, I'm excited to welcome Renee Buck back to the show. Renee is let me just start by saying she's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. And let me give you a little bit of background about her. Although Renee's childhood was marked by spiritual visits from family members and other metaphysical phenomena, it wasn't until 2002 when a series of prophetic dreams led Renee to the Swampscott Church of Spiritualism on the Massachusetts North Shore that her journey into the study and practice of evidential mediumship formally began. To this, she's added the practices of Reiki, meditation, hypnotherapy, specializing in soul journeys and yoga. And Renee holds master's degrees from MIT. Wow. And the Middlebury Institute of International Studies in Monterey, California. She lives in Minnesota, working with clients from around the world, and she teaches mediumship development classes. And she can be reached at the following website. It's whispersfromthelight.com. whispersfromthelight.com. So ladies and gentlemen, our show tonight, commercial free as always, no interruptions. So sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us. Let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Renee, just a couple of quick announcements. Bob Ginsberg's book, available on Amazon, The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. And it's a great, great book. It's like awesome. So get it. And another announcement, the docuseries on Netflix called Surviving Death, still streaming. Bob Fragg, Forever the Family Foundation, and several different mediums are featured, especially prominently in episode 4. And again, this show tonight is for informational purposes. So your questions and insights are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Renee will not be doing, she will not be performing any readings tonight. So we're going to continue the format that we've been doing the last couple of shows, where we've been soliciting questions and getting questions from Forever Family Foundation folks. And you've been emailing them, and we've been putting it up on the air. So we're definitely going to do that again today. And also, you know, you can definitely feel free to call in the number, the 1-800, the 1-888 number. I think, do I have it here in my notes? I hope I have it in my notes. You know what? I'm going to have our Don message me the 1-800 number if you can. Okay. And I'll give it to you guys in a second. So it's the same number as it is every week. I just, for some reason, do not have it in my notes. Okay. Oh, here it is. It's 888-627-6008. Now that was quite a mouthful. So with that, welcome to the show, Renee.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here again.
It's been like since April of last year that we spoke. It was the last time you were here, I think.
Was that the last time? Yeah. Well, close to a year then. Yeah.
It's close to a year. Yeah, absolutely. So, have you been for the last year? Busy?
Busy. Yes. I a year ago, as you know, I was in LA in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and I am now in Minnesota. So I packed up all my things and headed back to my home state. So it's been nice, you know, to be close to family and friends.
Nice. And how long have you been in California?
I was in California for about seven years.
Seven years.
A little over about 7.5 years, actually. Prior to that, I'd been in the Boston area for about 25 years, and then moved around and, but I grew up here in Minnesota. So it's been, it's been a while since I've been back.
So it's kind of those winters again, huh?
Yeah, I know. that's a little bit of an adjustment. But we don't get as much snow here as New England. So that's kind of nice. It's been chilly, but not quite as much snow to deal with.
Well, glad that you're closer to, you know, to the heartland, I guess.
So yes. Yeah. Literally.
So, hey, I forgot to mention, we have another number, a non-1-800 number that folks can call. It's 323-744-4831 as well, that they can call for if they have any questions from you, okay? So, I was in California last summer with my family visiting, and we kind of flew out to San Diego and then rented a van and with another family. And we kind of did the whole, all of California. We went up the, you know, up the coast and won there right from San Diego, right to as far as San Francisco. And it was actually
That's a beautiful drive.
Yeah. Very nice place. It's nice to visit, but I don't think I'd want to live there. Not for me. I'm more of a New York kind of guy.
Yeah, New York kind of guy. Yeah. You know, LA, it's got it's a special place, and I was there for a very specific reason, to study screenwriting and TV writing, and and that was good. But and I also, you know, I mean, the wonderful thing about being a medium is you can do it anywhere, and I met so many fabulous people out there, you know, through my work.
Rich and famous people?
A few. Can't say who, but. Mostly, you know,
great
people.
Well, you know what?
Live there.
Speaking of Californiaites, if that's a proper term, we have one waiting on the call to talk to you. You want to take a call?
Oh, cool.
All right, great. So we have Patty from Burbank on line one. Patty, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness! Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, first time caller. I have a question of, do you have any strategies for myself to be more open to signs and communications from the spirit world or my guides?
Mm-hmm. That is a good question. You know, the thing that I think works the best is for you to decide what your signs are for your various loved ones, things that have very specific meaning to you and to them. And that way you can differentiate the signs, know who it is that's coming through. And then just let it go. Once you say, okay, you know, mom or dad or grandma or whoever in spirit, this is our sign. These are the things I'm going to be looking for. And when I see them, I'm going to know that that's you. That just sort of cements the agreement between you. Actually, on my website, I have a blog post. In fact, I think it's on the main page. It's about my sister, about when I decided what my sign was going to be from her. And it's just amazing. Like, as soon as I put it out there and I say, Laura, okay, you know, it's been a while. I really want to see my sign. And like literally within days, sometimes less than days, she delivers. It's truly remarkable. So give that a try.
Great. That's helpful. And to let it go.
Let it go. You. Yeah. Yeah. Then, you know, because I think when you're looking too hard for it, it's just kind of stressful. You know, just make your pact with them and let it go, and just be delighted when it shows up.
And trust that you will receive them. Trust that you will.
Yeah, trust. Okay. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Trust.
Yeah. Okay.
And know that, I think too, another helpful thing is, you know, spirit is pretty good at animating birds and, you know, butterflies and little animals and things like that. So, you know, watch for unusual behavior with little creatures. Okay.
Good. Thank you. That's very helpful because I had thought about creatures. So that I think is a sign amongst itself. So thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yes. You're welcome.
Thank you, Patty. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So yeah, so that is very interesting about the whole science thing, because just you have to be open to it, and you have to trust yourself as well as just trust that you are receiving it, that you're not imagining something, that it's a sign, and it'll just have more meaning for you.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's a good rule just for mediumship in general, is to trust that what's coming in is from spirit, right? So
because the ego is what's going to stop it. You know, your ego is that voice inside your head saying, nah, it's not true. It's just wishful thinking, blah, 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 So, I mean, I don't know if you heard of this wonderful human being called Eckhart Tolle.
Yes, the power of now. The power of
now and all of that. And he's just one of these guys that really puts it as it is in terms of what your ego is and how your ego is really not your friend. Your ego is, it's there. An ego is good for a flight or fight response, like in dire emergencies, like, maybe like the people of Ukraine are experiencing. But in your everyday life, I mean, we've evolved. We don't need egos anymore.
Well, the ego, I think the ego helps us manipulate our 3D world, our physical world. Yeah. But if we can go inside, like our inner senses, that's where we really can connect to spirit, where we let go of the physical and embrace the inner senses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can achieve that by letting go of your ego. If anybody's not ever heard of him, read up some of his books. He's got a lot of really cool techniques to let go of your ego. I mean, it's not, it doesn't come right away. It's very hard. It's not very hard, but it takes practice, and like anything else in life.
Absolutely.
Okay, so hey, let me read you an email that we received from one of our listeners, and see what you think about it. It's a little bit long, but I'll get through it, and it's a pretty straightforward question. Okay, so Mary says, "My 91-year-old father is not in the greatest of health, but not in terrible shape either. He stated on a number of occasions that he doesn't think he'll go to heaven. He's afraid to die for fear that he's going to go, to the other place. No doubt as a result of deeply ingrained guilt from what I believe are misguided teachings of the Catholic Church." And that's in quotations. Mm-hmm. "Well, while Dad never states why he thinks he will not go to heaven, he's indicated that it has something to do with the sins of his youth. I have told him that I'm completely convinced that he will go to heaven. I told him that many of us have sins of our youth and are it's actually part of growing up. Humans do dumb things on their way to maturity. I remind him of the many good things and selfless things he's done in his life. So my question is the afterlife always a happy place? And can I ask my mom and other family members who have passed to come to Dad and bring him the comfort and peace in any way? How do I do that? I'm not in a habit of communicating with deceased family members, but I'd like to work on that. So I'm sure that Dad will believe in signs, but I'm not sure if Dad will believe in signs, but I think it's worth a try." That's it.
Yeah. There's a few things to unpack there. But it's really actually for me very timely, because I want to bring to her attention a book called Seth Speaks, The Eternal Validity of the Soul. And so I don't know, this may be a book that you might also be familiar with, Roman, but it's Seth is a discarnate personality or entity, a master teacher who literally dictated word for word a book in the early 1970s through a trans channel. Uh-huh. And he speaks to this in one of the chapters, exactly to this, that when people initially pass, whatever their belief system is, they may initially find that, that they're sort of confronting some of that reality, just so it's not so jarring, I guess, to the consciousness, but gradually the guides kind of help them understand that their belief system is a little bit askew or just sort of a little too influenced by some of the religious teachings. And so gradually he will come to the understanding that, you know, life is continuous. There is no such thing as hell. You know, he will find all of his loved ones on the spirit side when he's ready. So, you know, and in terms of talking to loved ones who've gone before and asking for their help, you know, it sounds like she's already asking for that. The answers may very likely come to her father via dreams. So he might start to have dreams where he's passed and everything is much rosier or different than he imagined. So, you know, spirit will, if you're asking for that specifically, of course, it is your father's free will, whether or not he's going to let some of those ideas in. But they are certainly hearing and listening and understanding the concern. But you know, if Mary, this is Mary, right? That wrote this, Roman?
Yes.
It's Mary. Yeah. So, but for Mary to understand, you know, to not worry about, you know, what's going to happen to her father when he does pass, he's going to be just fine. He's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a good book. If she wants to pick up that book, it's a little bit heady in the beginning, but I'm sure that in the index, she can find those passages and whatnot that are specific to this very theme and the role of religion in what we see when we first cross over.
Yeah, that is very true. That our influences will. I mean, I think you hit it right on the head, nail, with what you just said about the our religious experience. A lot of people, you know, Buddhists will see Buddha, and you know, and all that. You know, Christians will see Jesus, and you know, it's because of the original experience and kind of getting into it.
You know, but yeah, you know, so that sort of have to be coached. You know, coached to come in and so that the soul can sort of say, okay, yeah, this is what I thought it would be. And then gradually, gradually the guides, you know, the players on the other side will sort of lift the veil.
Maybe spirit can even, you know, help Mary help her father, you know? So she can be open to signs as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if she can, you know, if she could read this book and maybe introduce the book to her father and then maybe read some passages, like it could be a start a conversation at least.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Hey, we got another caller. We have Barbara from Pennsylvania on line two. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. How can we apologize to our loved ones in spirit for things we wish we had done differently, and be sure that they hear us?
Well, this comes back to something that Roman was just saying, and in terms of trust, you know, whatever you say, you know, in your, you know, coming from your heart with emotion directed to any particular loved one in spirit, they will hear you. That's a fact.
Okay.
They hear what you say, and, you know, and they are, remember, your loved ones, once they pass, they are beginning to see you from a little bit different perspective, right? Their soul is sort of integrating with, I should say, their personality, their consciousness that was here on Earth is integrating with a broader, more expanded, more enlightened being, their full self.
Okay.
And so they also will view any kind of situation from a much different lens, a much more open and understanding and forgiving lens. So, you know, put it out there and trust that they're hearing, and then just, you know, open your heart and see what sensory information comes back to you, because I'm pretty sure it's all going to be about love.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
You are so
welcome.
Have a great night.
And you have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's that. You said something that is very interesting there. You were talking about the expanded kind of being, the full self, in your explanation.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a bit. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, we are here in this present life, a portion of our full consciousness. We are aware of this lifetime right now, right here with, you know, our family and friends as we have chosen them, you know, from the other side before coming down here. But when we cross to the other side, we go through a period of self-examination on around this life and gradually begin to integrate with that larger self, that self that knows about all of our other past lives, that knows about our goals and what we set out to accomplish in this lifetime, that, you know, can see any one of the people in his or her soul group as, you know, many different personalities from other lifetimes. And so it's, you know, if you imagine that you're an actor, for example, and you've acted in many, many different plays with the same people, or a subset or maybe expanded set of those people, you begin, you know who they really, their actual self, but then you know all of these roles that they've played, you know, together with you. And so, you know, that's what it's like when we're on the other side. I was going to grab a thing from my notes about, Seth, I just read Seth Speaks again this last week, because I did a lecture on Sunday about it. But he talks about the in-between, the in-between dimension, which is where all of this happens. And let me see if I'm just grabbing my notes here. So, right. This mid-plane of existence, the between life dimension, it's a rest area, a time of self-examination and life review. If needed, people who need help understanding that they're actually dead, they'll get, you know, counseling. We become aware of other reincarnational selves. We meet other personalities that are important to us from these other lives. And then we start sort of planning the next steps for us, whether it's just to, you know, to work with our loved ones and others down here for a while, or to start thinking about our next reincarnational lives and what we want to accomplish there. So, it's an interesting and exciting and multidimensional experience that we live.
Right. I've said this many times on the show. I've studied, you know, many books on the subjects, and the books that I've studied all point to the fact, or many of them point to the fact, that we're here to learn and to experience the hard knocks, because we, you know, our brain, when it's here, our brain acts as a reducing valve to all this consciousness. So it just stays in the physical world, kind of thing. And, you know, we have five senses, yet this world has been mathematically proven to have 11 dimensions. We can only see three of them, maybe four if you count time, which is man-made or whatever. But there's, you know, the point being, we're here to learn things the hard way rather than the easy way. Because in spirit, you want, you know, if you want something, boom, it's there.
Yeah.
You leave somewhere,
it's
boom,
the easy way over there, yeah.
Here it's hard.
Yeah.
You want
it's
something.
It's hard.
You got to go through a lot of hoops to get what you want over here. So
exactly, yes, you have a lot of work to manifest the desires and dreams. Yeah, in this physical world.
So actually, you know, we're considered very brave spirits to have undertaken this journey. You know, it's hard. Life is hard.
Yeah.
There's no way about it. You know, it's.
Yep.
Sooner or later, you're going to experience hardships and pain, and, you know, but also because of that, we also experience the opposite, which is great. You know, the intense love that we can have for somebody, you know, which is kind of,
yes. So, and we, I think, you know, through this experience, we can advance our soul's evolution much faster than if we were trying to learn those same lessons on the other side.
Yes, it's a fast track. That's right.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like the accelerated learning class that we're...
Exactly. You know, this is the AP, advanced placement.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people that are disadvantaged, they're in the advanced placement. You know, because they have to go through life with, you know,
even more handicapped,
mentally, challenged or whatever, you know,
the
terminology is for it. But, you know, these people are like even braver than we are for undertaking those rules, you know,
probably quite advanced.
They're
chosen a life with so many additional challenges.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's kind of mind blowing. Think about it.
It is mind blowing, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Renee, we got another caller.
Oh, we great.
A Melissa from New York on line 3. Melissa from New York, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Hi, Melissa.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great.
I what was on my mind? Okay. So, you know, I understand that, you know, as you were just explaining with spirit and, you know, how they can watch over us and intervene, and or if they can intervene. But what my question was when somebody passes on and gets past the, I guess, the initial stages of their death, are they able to, or do they interrelate with angels and spirit guides of their living loved ones? Do they even have any
of their living loved ones? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, so here's one thing that I have learned through a lot of my readings. I don't know that I've read about it in books so much, but so in what I learned from loved ones is that, you know, once they're through their initial life review and, you know, they're sort of like coming back to, their connections with those here on the earth plane, many of them will raise their hand very specifically and say, I'm going to work really closely with this person or that person or that person on the earth plane. And if that's all agreed upon, and I don't know the mechanics of that, but then they will start working closely with the guides on the other side of the person here on earth so that they can better understand what the goals of that person are in this lifetime, you know?
Right.
And so, yes, to answer your question directly, yes, absolutely. It doesn't mean it's an automatic. It's sort of like need to know basis in terms of what a loved one will know about another, I mean, in spirit, about someone here on the earth. But if there's any way that they can help and whatnot, they will do so. I think what is important for people here to understand is that it's important to ask very specifically for help if you need it in some area of your life. Very specific, because when you do that, you are giving them you're giving up some of your free will to them to come into your life and to interact with you. But, you know, our free will is sacred. So unless we're actually asking someone to come in and help us in our highest good, in whatever way is in our highest good, they will refrain. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, it does. That makes sense. That's a great answer. Thank you.
Great question. Yeah, yeah. So thank you for calling.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that was a very, very good question.
And it was a good question.
It kind of segues into one of the questions that we have from that was emailed in about privacy and do spirits give you privacy? Here's, I'll just read it, okay? Do spirits give you privacy, say when you're naked, going to the bathroom, having sex? Is there an oath that every spirit takes?
I remember asking this very question. I don't know. Again, I don't know exactly the mechanics of it, but we in the spiritualist church call it a privacy veil. So, you know, we just sort of, you know, we here on earth assume and anticipate that there's a privacy veil that goes up when we're doing something intimate, because we emit certain sensory frequencies, I guess, when, especially if we're doing something intimate like sex or whatever, that veil sort of automatically goes up. But you can always say, you know, hey, I'd rather nobody's around right now, and close things. I remember another medium saying, I'm trying to remember who this was, but I remember that question being asked. I think it was in Florida, one of the retreats, and one of the mediums saying, they don't care though. They don't really care what you're doing. It doesn't really mean anything, but it still does mean something to us.
Well, yeah. So. Yeah. It reminds me of a Dangerfield joke. I remember one of the funniest jokes is, the first time that I ever had sex, I was so scared. I was all alone.
That's cute. Yeah. I don't think you have to worry too much about spirit being around when you don't need them or want them.
Okay.
To be.
Well, that was an interesting question. Definitely. You guys keep them coming. I love those type of questions. So we have another one. This person writes in, no name, but it says, and I'll read it. This whole connecting with the afterlife is new to me, but I only get messages when I'm in between being awake and being asleep. I'm not sure how to develop this further. Is this normal? That's it. That's the question.
Yeah, it is normal. And that is the time that you are meant to receive messages. Again, this was in the Seth book that I just read. Because it's often, for much of the night when we're asleep, we're literally on the other side. We're in this in-between dimension, interacting with our guides and our loved ones and even helping other souls that are here on earth or on the other side. So we have very busy nights, but in that space, particularly before waking up, that is a time frame that spirit utilizes, either in the form of dreams or in just direct messages to get information across to us that they want us to hold on to. And so write that down, get a dream journal. Whatever, put it by your bed, have a pen ready. A tape recorder, yeah, like anything, just like get it down because you're going to forget it.
It's funny how right when you wake up, you remember your dream so well. And then just by not thinking of it for 10 seconds, it's gone.
It's amazing how quickly
it does.
It goes away.
Incredible. Unless the dream is like so out, so weird or something that it's like, holy crap, you know, and then you'll remember and think about it the next day or whatever. I mean, it happens to all of us, but you know, you have like hundreds of dreams every night and 99.999% of them you will not remember. You'll remember that really crazy one that stands out. Yeah, you'll remember that one. But that's, right. That's
and mostly, most of them are the ones that you just before waking up, and you may wake up multiple times in a night, but in there's that space where they want you to right, where they want you to wake up. You know, just this morning, actually, as I was waking up, I heard a woman's voice say, is that you, Renee? And I was like, yeah, it is, but I couldn't catch like who it was, who was speaking to me. That did stay with me, because all day today I've been like, I know that voice, but who was it? You know.
Yeah, sometimes you just hear somebody calling your name, and it's so freaking clear. It's unbelievable. It happens to me too. And I know it's part of the dream, because I don't consider myself to be a medium or anything like that. But the weirdest things happen when you're dreaming. I mean, that moment. If you can achieve this, where you're body falls asleep, but your brain doesn't. And it's very rare that that happens. But if you could achieve that, and it's happened to me twice, you feel this electrical sensation pulsate through to your body, and poof, you're having an out-of-body experience, like you're floating above your body. Happened to me twice. Kid you not.
Oh, yeah.
Swear on my grandfather's grave. It's very, very
true. You were looking down and seeing your body, Roman?
Yep, twice.
Yeah.
Twice it happened to me. About 2 years apart. Last time it happened to me was about maybe 2 years ago. And it was, I was just like so tired at one point, but I was coming back from a gig. I'm a musician and I was coming back from a gig, and you know, after the gig, you have to load and pack the amps and everything, bring it back to the warehouse and all that. And it's just so physically tiring. And I just, you know, got to bed like at 4 a.m. or something like that. And I was just too tired to sleep. And then I just sat there and lay there just, you know, and then that next thing I know, my body fell asleep, but my brain didn't. So very weird. But there's techniques on doing that. William Buell is a big proponent of that. He's really, mm-hmm. He's written many books on that. And, you know, if anybody wants to establish that and get good at that, that's a really good resource. William Buell, mm-hmm. He's got meditation tapes and everything to guide you through that. And, you know, and it's also a good way to connect with spirit in that state when you're out of your body.
Yes. Absolutely.
You can easily communicate with spirit. So it's, yeah. But again, it takes, you know, it takes a lot of practice. Anything takes a lot of practice, you know, so interesting. So,
yeah, well, I think the practice, just to clarify, I think the practice goes along with trying to do it while you're conscious, having out of body experiences,
yeah.
Right? But when you're sleeping, I think it's pretty much automatic. We just don't remember a lot of it because we're not really meant to remember a lot of it. But
right.
I regularly feel, and maybe you do too, that, you know, when I'm coming back from wherever I've been, it's like a sinking feeling, like whoosh, I'm in my body, mm-hmm. You know, like boom, I'm back.
Absolutely.
And he, you know, Seth also mentions that in his book. I'd forgotten how many beautiful, remarkable things are in that book, but you know, he says that's what it will feel like as you, you know, you will feel your body falling back or your consciousness falling back into your body, sometimes like with a hard thump, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's what
it's true. It's true.
That's what it feels like.
When you're dreaming and let's say your car is about to crash in your dream and you wake up with a jolt, that's a prime example of that. I mean, you're
right
back into it, you know, and you feel it.
That's
absolutely
right.
That is
exactly.
It's the other good thing that, you know, people can practice is, and it's different from OBEs, it's lived dreaming. You know, so when you're in a dream, when you're dreaming, but you know that you're dreaming, if you can
achieve lucid?
That,
uh-huh.
Those are the best. Because then, hey, I can, you know, I can fly. Look at me. I can do this. I can, hey, you know, I can, you know, well,
yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna mention what you can think about doing, but you can do a lot of things, you know.
right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we have our consciousness is amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I mean, science hasn't even begun to tap into what's consciousness.
I agree.
They haven't even
located
the brain. They know that, like, your brain's like a TV, right? So if you smash your TV, you're not going to kill the weatherman. You know, he's still alive. It's just, you know, your TV's not going to be able to show him anymore. And that's what your brain is. It's a reducing valve that picks up information from, you know, we call it the ether or from spirit,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's so many different terms for it. The consciousness is picked up by your brain somehow, but mm-hmm. It's not stored. They can't find where it's stored. You know, they'll find the mechanisms to turn that function on and off in your brain. They know where that is. They've mapped that perfectly, but they don't know that where it's stored. Like where does your consciousness sit? You know, it doesn't, you know, it's crazy. So it's going to be a while before we figure it out. And I think that's by design. I think it's by design.
Yeah. I think it's by design too. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you never know. You never know. Hopefully there'll still be an Earth in a couple of hundred years. Hopefully there'll still be an Earth next week.
Hopefully exactly. We won't have destroyed our planet.
Yeah.
Over ridiculous things like more land or whatever.
I know. So I got another question from a person that wrote in.
Okay.
I've started meditating as a way to open my connection to my deceased son. The physical sensation I am getting feels like pins and needles or electrical sparks in my hand when I imagine holding his hands. What do you think?
Oh.
Is this a common contact?
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. If you're feeling tingles, yes, absolutely. You know, when I am in a, so meditation is very much, you're in the same space as when you are working as a medium, you know, you're sort of working with through those inner senses, and our connection to spirit is through, you know, sort of electromagnetic charges. And when I'm in a session and spirit is trying to get through a difficult concept to me, and when I've got it right, I'll get a whole like a tingle sort of from the top of my head to my, you know, all the way to my toes of like, yes, that's it. And it is a physical tingly sensation. So spirit likes to use that as a way of, to get our attention, to say, hey, you know, yes, I'm either I'm here or you're right. Some people feel tingles when spirit comes close to them and that like on the back of their neck. So different spirits use it in different ways, but yeah, absolutely. That's a wonderful thing that she can feel that. The other thing too is that I like to mention this as often as I can, about a spirit hug and what that feels like for people. The way that it's been shown to me from spirit is when, especially in the earlier days, you know, shortly after, or early years, you know, maybe, I suppose, yeah, early year or two. Mm-hmm. But when spirit comes close to you and you're not even thinking about them in that particular moment, but suddenly you're caught in this wave of grief. Some people call it a grief bomb. It's not my favorite term, but it's just sort of like hits you in the heart and you're suddenly like, ugh, you know, brought to your knees with that sadness and that feeling of grief. So what I am understanding is that spirit has just come closer, giving you a hug. It's your heart chakra, their heart chakra, the electrical connections between them is sort of like boom. And so they always want me to tell people to not stop at the idea that, oh, they're feeling sad and it's grief and it's not fair that they're feeling grief when they weren't even thinking about that person, but rather to turn it around, shift that paradigm to, oh, you're here. I feel you. I feel you in my heart. I feel your love. Because what is pain in our heart, but just a deep love, right? And sense of loss. So I just want to throw that out there too, that physical, because it is literally a physical sensation when they come close like that. And as long as people understand that that just means they're present in that moment, then they will do it more often. But if they are worried that they're going to make that, you know, their loved one sad and crying, then they're going to do it less. So turn the paradigm, shift the paradigm.
Is that, how did you come about that information?
That came to me from spirit. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That came to me in a reading a number of years ago. And I remember bringing it through and going, oh my, and thinking of the repercussions of that for myself, because I have a lot of immediate family members in spirit. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I had known that all those years, it would have been such a comfort.
That rings deep with me because I lost my son. He's 5 years old. I lost him in 2009. For a while, you know, I, you know, even to this day, actually, you know, those groups, they're farther apart, but, you know, pangs, like they just, I'll be driving or whatever and just start bawling my eyes out, you know, just all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You
know? All of a sudden, right? Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, and, Roman, know that he's right there with you in that moment.
Yeah. That's a new, that's something I haven't heard before, Renee. I appreciate
that. Well, I hadn't heard it, and I don't think I've read it anywhere either. It just came to me in a reading.
No, I haven't read that anywhere. I've read hundreds of books on the topic. Hundreds, you know?
Yeah.
Never. This is the first time I hear that. So that's very That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to know.
Yeah. Thank you, Renee.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Wow. So that's I mean, it totally makes sense that because,
yeah,
you know,
right.
from my point of view, when, you know, I feel like something's there, you know, and you just feel that familiarity that you had when the person was alive. And then you realize that it's not there. And that's what kicks in the grief.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Real quick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah.
You know, but it's a matter of like, what started it first? Is it that feeling with the hearts combining, or is it the, you know, the not just not, well, you know what? I think you explained it perfectly. It's the hearts combining and then feeling that sense of familiarity that you once had and then realizing you don't have, and boom, the grief comes in. So if you can stop that, and that it's, oh, you no longer have it. No, that's not true. You can have it again.
Because
if you turn it around, that's such a wonderful concept.
And you do. Yeah, you do have it. And it's just, you know, because our bodies are, you know, we're run via electrical current, right? So.
Yep.
You know, we have constant, especially the chakras, those are powerful, powerful energy centers. We call them energy centers, right? So when two hearts come together, it's like, boom. It is a shock. It is a surprise. And yeah, but now if you can turn it around, and it's hopefully that will bring you some joy next time that happens. But I know in the first year or so, you know, it'll happen quite a bit. And I think spirit is always hoping that people will understand that it just means that they're present. But not everybody does understand that. Not everybody gets that. They just think, oh, it's not fair. You know, I was doing fine for a moment, and now, you know, I can't control these grief bombs. But it just means that their loved ones are there that much more. So
right. Yeah.
It's a good thing to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we got some other questions that I can read to you. Have you ever like refused to give a reading to somebody, or not been able to? I think not been able to because is a better way. I mean, I wouldn't think you would refuse to give somebody a reading. So, well, why would, like, has it ever happened that, you know, for you that you have a, just the circumstances just aren't right?
Haven't been able to really connect. There have been a few times, and you know, and I'm not sure of all the variables. I think that kind of depends on the sitter and their readiness or their understanding. Sometimes it's just, you know, I don't know all of the reasons. But if it does feel like, if the sitter isn't able to understand who I'm talking about, and that happens with a couple of entities, then, you know, I will just close it, because somehow something isn't connecting. I know I'm bringing in people, and I can see them clearly, and they're bringing in bits and pieces of evidence, but the sitter isn't understanding them. So I don't always know what's going on. Sometimes I think people are so focused on wanting only one person to come in that that their mind isn't open enough to, you know, in the moment, think about who else it might be. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it happens. I think it happens to every medium. Not very often, but, you know, it does.
Once in a while, it can happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what, I mean, how do you, like, Before getting into a reading, how do you personally prep yourself for the reading?
Well, I take a more encompassing approach. I do a meditation together with my client before every session.
Okay.
So we are, you know, in this meditation serves several purposes. It brings me together energetically with the sitter and with the loved ones and guides. Sort of all in the same space. So we're kind of holding space together. And in this meditation, I invite our healing guides to step forward to basically perform an energy healing on our physical and metaphysical bodies. And so we clear the body. We sort of energize the chakras. We open them all up. It's about a 15-minute meditation. I take my time. Sometimes it's a little longer because spirit, I kind of let spirit take the lead. And if this person needs a little bit more time on a certain chakra, you know, we'll spend some time there. And so when we start, as soon as we come out of that meditation, I turn on my timer and away we go. And it's a much faster on-ramp, so to speak, because I've taken that time to bring us together and to clear my client's energy and mine and enhance our connection to spirit. So,
that's what we do. Both like in person and over the phone and over.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You probably do readings over Zoom or whatever, I'm sure.
I prefer phone. I'll do Zoom if it's international, but Zoom is still not stable enough. I feel like it's still, and maybe it's because I use Zoom internationally, and so it's the international connection that's not stable. But I prefer the phone because I don't have any distraction. I'm not, I have my eyes closed. It's just what's in my, you know, what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing in my mind. And that's that. Those are the clearest readings for me. So
now do you do like reading after reading? How many like will you do in a row or in a day? Because I'm sure it wipes you out.
Yeah. You know what? I don't ever do more than two in a day. Because a lot of my readings are long. Some of them are a couple hours, you know? And I don't do more than five a week. And because it just gets to be, I'm too exhausted. I do more because I have, you know, I have some other work that I do and to balance the mediumship. It's
interesting.
Interesting. That's as much as I can do.
It's in your introduction, it said you also teach mediumship, right?
Yes, I haven't since COVID. I've only been teaching in person, although I am starting to warm up to the idea of possibly doing it online. I've felt a little uncomfortable with, I think, especially beginners and not being able to be present and hold the space there. But I don't know, a lot of other mediums are doing it and they're having, you know, no bad experiences. So, you know, kicking that idea around again. I would like to teach. I love teaching.
Right.
So, and there are a lot of, you know, I've had a number of clients who have, you know, I've understood through the reading that, oh, wow, they really actually have some aptitude to do this themselves. And I can see it and I can feel it. So I've got a kind of a running list of people that I would invite to a class. I think it would be an invitation only class rather than a sign up.
I gotcha. You know what? I think, you know, like this whole, I think everybody can sort of be a medium. Like everybody can sort of be a musician, but there's different aptitudes that are, you know.
Yeah.
Naturally.
That's exactly right.
Given, you know, some pick it up real quick and run with it real fast and they go fast and far with it. And while others might struggle a little bit more, you know?
Right. So, they might be the turtle and the hare in some cases. Yeah. But sometimes, I mean, some mediums that I know that are amazing mediums, they kind of plodded along, you know, in their first couple of years in their classes. And then it just, something just clicked. And I think it comes back to your idea of the ego, you know, getting the ego out of the way.
Yeah.
Not worrying about being embarrassed or am I going to be wrong and blah, blah. It's just letting go.
Absolutely.
You know?
So, you know what? This was like one of the fastest hours ever. It's.
Oh, my gosh.
We're almost done. We are done pretty much. But just before we go, let's talk about you a little bit and your website, Whispers from the Light, and how far are you booked in advance? And, you know, tell us a little bit about your practice, just to, you know, plug yourself a little bit. You totally deserve it.
Okay. Well, right now, my waiting list is about 5 to 6 months. So, okay. Yeah, it's, or actually, is that right? I'm right now, saying August. So however many months that is, March, okay. April, May, June, July. Five to six months. Mm-hmm. And I offer, you know, regular mediumship, 30-minute and 1-hour sessions. And then also I do Akashic Records readings, which is also mediumship, but you're connecting with a different type of entity on the other side. And these are opportunities for people to sort of dive a little bit deeper into their soul's goals and you know, if they're particularly helpful if people feel really sort of stuck in their lives and are at a crossroads or are trying to understand a relationship or patterns in their lives that just they can't seem to get past or outgrow or outdo. Right. So I have those, and then people can choose a hybrid reading, which is 30 minutes of mediumship and 30 minutes of Akashic Records, or 45 and 45. So they can get, you know, a little bit of both.
Okay. Such a pleasure talking to you, and you know, I can't wait till we talk again, but we are completely out of time and we got to say bye for now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Roman. I've enjoyed this evening very much.
Yes, so have I. It was great. Thank you so much. And everybody, we'll see you next month. In the meantime, just know your love, you know, your loved ones are a heartbeat away, as Fran Ginsberg used to say. And we love you and we'll talk to you very soon. Thanks again. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night.
Night.